You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Well, before you take your seats, I want to read to you a key scripture for today's message. If you have sat down, I wonder if it's possible for you to stand and join me as we read a key scripture. You've joined us today, either online or all of you crazy people here in the building, on week two of a series that we're doing, a preaching series called The Journey of a Lifetime. The Journey of a Lifetime. Last week, Pastor Glyn kicked off the series talking about Mary's journey. The journey of Mary. And today we find another journey that we're going to look at. And I really believe God is going to speak prophetically into your life, your situation, your moment that you're currently in through this passage today. In Luke 2, verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds." Ladies and gentlemen, the star of today's passage, the shepherds. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" Sounds familiar? Come on, good news that will bring great joy. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." This is the journey of a lifetime, the shepherds. And the sort of title that I'm working with is the journey from the shadows to the spotlight. From the shadows to the spotlight. Before you sit down, let's pray. Father, we open our hearts to you for these next 10 or 15 minutes. And we allow you, we invite you to speak to us. Will you show us what we need to hear so that we can live a life that brings glory to you? Thank you that you are transforming us on the inside, and it's our heart's desire, God, that as you continue to do that, it overflows into the lives of those around us, and we will truly see this city, the cities that you've called us to, this nation and the nations of the world transformed by your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take your seats. Now, I wonder if you have ever got so caught up in a moment that you completely lost yourself. Have you ever got so consumed by your right now that you forget yourself and you end up saying and doing things, and when you hear yourself or see yourself doing those things, you go, "What the heck am I doing?" My younger brother, Keith, you will know him, many of you, as Pastor Keith, because him and his wife, Sarah, are children's pastors here at Audacious. He bought me for my birthday in the summer tickets to watch a show in London in November. Now, we were in London at the Noel Coward Theatre watching a show called Dear Evan Hansen. And it's a show written by the same people that wrote The Greatest Showman and La La Land. It's like top level quality stuff. But it is, oh, there you are, buddy. It is emotional. And Keith and I, it would be fair to say that we are on the emotional end of the spectrum. We are comfortable with our feelings and expressing them. And I don't have time to go into the story, but needless to say, the crescendo moment in the show is when this web of lies and deceit is exposed in an emotional volcano of a moment. The theater is packed. The music is awesome. There's the killer line where the audience already know that there's been some deception going on, but the rest of the cast in the story, they don't know. And there's a killer moment where he says, "I know, I wrote them." Now, you don't know what that means because you don't know the story. But trust me, in that moment, it's all building emotionally and the tension is building to this moment in a packed theater where he says, "I know, I wrote them." And there was a hush in the whole theater that was broken by Keith and I going, It was one of those moments where I like wiped my eyes as if I'd like, I don't know, lost a leg or something and realized, oh, it's just a story. It's just a made up story. And all of these tutting guests are tutting so because I and Keith have lost ourselves in a moment. Now, maybe you haven't done that, but you need to hear the word of the Lord through the shepherds today. And that is that God has got you on a journey. He's taking you on a journey. Faith in God was never meant to be, or the salvation moment that we're praying for all week and believing God for next Friday. In fact, we believe God for that moment in all of our services, was never meant to be the finish line. We weren't supposed to sort of flop over the finish line of salvation and just go like, oh, great. What God wants to do after that encounter is take you on a journey. Even before that God encounter, you might be in church today, you might be tuning in, watching, going, I don't even know God. Well, even you, he has you on a journey. But it's never meant to end. It's supposed to be the journey of your lifetime. But how many people know it's easy on the journey to get caught up in just one moment? I want to speak today for a few minutes about those seasons in your life. Side note, I'm going to say the word season a lot. Now, I know season, a new season, it's just a season you're going through. Phrases like that are a bit cliche. They're a bit overdone, a bit overused. But really what we're talking about when we say season is just a time in your life. Looking back from where you are now through your own personal history, you will recognize different seasons or times in your life that are not like now. You've changed. Pastor Hannah said it when she was leading us in prayer. She said, you're not where you were, but you're also not where you're going to be. That's basically her saying there has been a season, you're in a season, and guess what? It's not the final destination. You're moving into another season. But really the main... If I preach what's written on my notes here, it says, Lynn's West is my idol. In Lynn's handwriting. She's, thanks for that, buddy. Just so you know, he is not. Jesus is my idol. Anyway, I'm going to say this phrase and I'm going to repeat it all through the next 10 minutes and you're going to be like, enough of the phrase. But you need to hear this. God sees you, he knows where you're at, and he's moving you forward. God sees you, he knows where you're at, and he's moving you forward. The shepherds teach us from verse 18 about a great moment in their story. It says in verse 18, all who heard what they were saying were amazed at the shepherds. How good is that? They had notability. They had people were listening to them. People were hanging on their words. People were celebrating what they were saying. Everybody wants that. Now, maybe you don't want the spotlight. Remember I said the shepherds went from the shadows to the spotlight. You might be thinking, I don't want the spotlight. I don't want people looking at me. But you have to recognize in this message, the spotlight that I'm talking about is not about fame. It's about favor. And you need to hear this. They're not the same thing. You're not favored by God because you're famous. There's a lot of famous people that are in the shadows on the inside because it's not about that. This is about breakthrough, not Instagram followers. But it says in verse 18 that they hung on their words, but you don't get to verse 18 unless you start in verse 8. And verse 8 says that they were just out in the fields in the dark on their own. And so many of us in a season of darkness or hiddenness, I know that's not an English word, or challenge or restriction or not being where you want to be, get lost. We get caught in a moment. We get like Keith and I, sobbing on the balcony without realizing that there's the second half to come. There's more of the story left. God sees you. He knows where you're at and he's moving you forward. This is a powerful truth that I think this verse, living out in the fields nearby, it says, teaches us, is that what God does in full view that you can see and touch and is tangible and you're like, that's where God was working. That's where God came through for me. What he does in that way nearly always starts in the dark. It nearly always starts in the dark. This is an old adage and not one that I came up with, but it's true. Greatness is often formed in obscurity. Think about the Bible. David, giant killer David in 1 Samuel 17, where everybody knows he killed a giant. In 1 Samuel 16, he was left alone in the field, just like the shepherds, not considered, not picked, not chosen. And yet we celebrate his giant killer moment, but the giant killer's formation was in the dark. Jonah, incredible Sunday school classic. We celebrate his story. But in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, it says Jonah prayed from inside the fish. Dark, wet, lonely, smelly. That's where it started. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus healed a man whose friends lowered him through the roof. It says in full view of them all, he healed them. But it didn't start there. It started with the faceless, nameless, some men that carried their mate to Jesus. You can see it throughout the whole Bible. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, stood up and preached and 3,000 people were added to their number. And yet, we only have to go back a chapter to see Peter was in an upper room with just a few people encountering God. And even earlier than that, at the end of the gospel, the Bible says Peter was alone by the fire, denying he even knew Jesus. If you take that snapshot of Peter, you'd be like, the guy messed up. He failed. And that's what some of us do. In a season of darkness, a season of restriction, in a season of hiddenness, we take a snapshot and say, well, this is it. But God sees you, he knows where you're at, and he's moving you forward. Don't misinterpret the shadows as your final destination. Because just like Pastor Glenn was teaching us last week, this time of darkness could be the womb. Do you remember he was talking about Mary and how something had to happen? The preparation for birth happened unseen. You could say it's a little bit like soil. The soil in which the acorn breaks down and is almost destroyed from its former shape. You would know an acorn by the way it looked and its shape. And it's like, yeah, I can see. You see a silhouette and you're like, that's an acorn, I know. But in the soil, it breaks down and is split. And all of a sudden, it's like, who even am I anymore, says the acorn to himself. But the Bible says, Jesus said in John 12, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. You think you're in a dark place. You think you're on your own. You're just in the soil. God sees you. God knows where you're at. I tried to lick my thumb so I could turn my notes. Just lick the microphone like a lolly. What the heck is wrong with me? So for the remaining minutes, I want to just answer the question, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Because what you do in the dark determines often what God will do in the light. What you do when no one's looking will determine what God does. And we can look at the shepherds and how they responded in the shadows, and we can answer the question, what shall I do? Before we do that, let me just jump to the end of the passage, because there may be some of you in this room and you're thinking, I'm actually in a great season at the moment. I'm doing well. It's nearly Christmas. What's up with everyone? Right? But the Bible says right at the end of the verses that we read that the shepherds returned to the field. You see, these dark times, these challenging times that you possibly are going through or maybe not, are actually not one of those awkward moments that you're supposed to just go through, but you just learn something and that's it. It's not like puberty that you just have to go through and it's inevitable. And everyone feels sorry for you for a few years and then you come out the other side and everyone's like, oh gosh, thank goodness you made it. Some later than others. It's not like that. It's actually more like, and here's my twee expression, a season. These times that we go through are more like winter than they are puberty. Write that in your notes. And if you're in a good place, if you're in the spring of your life or you're in the summer, I'm going to prophesy something that's going to make your heart sink. Winter's coming. Now, it will only make your heart sink if you don't have an understanding that each season means something and that God sees you and he knows where you're at and he's moving you forward. So before you switch off and say, I'm all right where I am, winter's coming, but it's okay. What shall we do in the winter? What shall we do? What shall you do if right now you're going, I don't know? Well, the shepherds, first thing they did is they were faithful. The Bible says they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. Never underestimate the power of just being faithful in what God has called you to do. If it's underwhelming, if it's not celebrated, if it's not on the front cover of a magazine or on someone's Instagram account, who cares? Because God sees you, he knows you, and he's moving you forward. Be faithful. The extra mile, sorry to repeat myself, for those of you who've heard me say this before, the extra mile is always celebrated. It's always seen. Oh, you sacrificed. Oh, you did so well. But the problem is the extra mile isn't the extra mile if you didn't do the first mile in the first place. It's just another first mile. So do the first mile faithfully. And Jesus is waiting for you at the end of the first mile going, okay, I'm going to take you into the extra mile that you don't think you can handle, but you can because you were faithful. What else did they do? Well, they were afraid. And we haven't got time to go into this, but I wanted you to hear what you do when you're in a dark season, and Pastor Glenn mentioned it last week, is that you have to trust God. The Bible says when the angel appeared to the shepherds, they were terrified. They were afraid. And there is a whole list of things that can happen in the dark. Things like boredom, loneliness, anger, stress, tiredness, offense, and fear can all kind of become our familiar company in a dark season. But the shepherds trusted God. Trust God in the shadows. Trust God in the shadows. Psalm 119:68 says this, you are good and what you do is good. That is a fact about God. You are good, which means his intention is good. You know, in life, we judge people by their actions, but we want to be judged ourselves by our intentions. You know what I mean? So someone will do something to you and you say, how could you do that to me? And they say, well, I didn't mean it. And you're like, I don't care if you meant it. This is what you did. Until it's you. And then you're like, well, you took it the wrong way. I didn't mean it that way. You've got intention and action. And that's what causes the problems for us. But here's the newsflash. God is not like us. There is no disparity between his intention and his action. God is good, and what he does is good. He knows where you are, and he's moving you forward. Trust God. They trusted God. They also heard God. The Bible says the angel said to them, and what the angel said was a message from God. The thing you need the most in a season of challenge, the thing you need the most right now is not a pay rise, although that might be nice. The thing you need the most right now is not a warm, fuzzy feeling on the inside because someone encouraged you or liked your Instagram post. What you need to know is, what is God saying? Because a word from God in the darkest season of your life will literally propel you and sustain you for as long as it takes for you to learn what needs to be learned in that season and move into the next. How do I know? Because the Bible says your word is a lamp to guide my feet. It is a light for my path. When you're in a dark season, what do you want? You just want a light. When there's a power cut, you scramble around for a torch. Where's that torch? Where's the batteries? I knew we shouldn't take the batteries out of that and put them in that. Where are the candles? Candles? What do you think this is? Oliver Twist. We don't have candles. Because when it's dark, all you want is a light. They heard God and they praised God. This is where we land. They praised God. The shepherds were caught up in this angelic host of a praise session. And this is the word of God to anyone in this room who right now is in a season, just like Pastor Glenn was teaching us when he took the offering earlier on, where you're waiting and you're waiting and it feels dark and it feels lonely and it feels like nothing is going to happen. What we have to do is turn our praise up. Turn our praise up, because what will happen is we will see, as we lift our heads and we lift our hearts and we focus on Jesus, the King of Kings, we will sit in the confidence and the beauty and the peace that comes with knowing God sees me. He knows where I'm at, and thank him that he's moving me forward. We could spend all day looking at these different things, and I've got more points in my notes. But the shepherds returned to the field that they came from. They were in the dark. They praised their way out into a moment of breakthrough. And yet it seems as though either God or life just happened and they found themselves back in the dark. But how many people know those shepherds didn't go back in the dark the same? The Bible says they returned praising God. What you do in this dark season will mean that the next challenge that comes your way, you'll be like, bring it on, mate. Bring it on. I've been here before. I know what to do in this situation. I trust God. I hear God, I praise God, I obey God, which is another point I didn't say. I know what to do in this season. Can you imagine, stand with me, and imagine a church that has momentum, movement. Momentum is so powerful. when something or someone has momentum, they're almost unstoppable. A car stationary is no danger to you as a pedestrian unless you have momentum and it gets in your way. But a car that's moving is dangerous for you if you get in the way. Either way, momentum has the power, is the point that I'm trying to make. And so rather than pray, God, get me out. God, get me out of this. God, get me out. We're going to change our prayer and say, God, get in. Get into my cave, get into my darkness, get into my shadows, get into my challenge, get into my struggle. Because just like Jesus and his disciples, when Jesus calmed the storm, do you remember that famous story? The Bible says that they were on the lake in a boat and they took Jesus with them. And in one of the Gospels, it chucks in a little sentence after it. It says, and other boats were with them. In other words, one boat had Jesus in it and several boats didn't. You've got Jesus in your boat. Just like the shepherds going back to their field with a different attitude, a different heart, a different internal dialogue. And so I'm going to ask the team to lead us in a worship song. And as we sing the words to this song, we're literally changing the internal dialogue from get me out to God, come in. From this is the worst thing I've ever been through to God, what are you saying? From where's God and I can't make sense of this to Jonah prayed from inside the fish. The shepherds encountered God in the dark, in a field, on a hill, in the middle of nowhere. And God is coming to you right now in this moment.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.